day, everyone, and welcome back to the Not Safe for Work Photography Podcast. There are thousands of models and photographers creating adult content using modern platforms and taking control of their own creative lives. Today we're interviewing one of them, Belladonna Photo on Instagram, or Joe. How are you doing today, Joe?
Doing great. Been looking forward to this. I've sadly forgotten we had this scheduled 2 weeks in a row, but I made sure I stuck around the house today so I wouldn't forget.
Yeah, it's always harder trying to remember stuff in the evening. I always get stuff first thing in the morning, but once it gets after 5 o'clock, it's hard.
Yeah. So and when you get older, it's hard too. I can't remember like I
used to. Would you like to introduce yourself, Joe?
Sure. I have been a professional photographer for probably about 20 years. I started off doing weddings. I got a real camera when I was 16, and I always liked photographing people. So I naturally just moved into doing portraits and wedding work, family photos. And probably about, I don't know, maybe 12 to 13 years ago, there was a studio co-op near me, and I went to check it out. I had never shot in a studio before, and so I couldn't really see the need for joining it, but I was curious because they offered a lot of photography courses. And, you know, I was in quotes a natural light photographer. Basically, when someone says that to you, it means they don't know how to use any type of lighting. I had no clue how to use studio lighting or flash or anything like that. But I went to this studio and they taught a few different courses on lighting, and it was eye-opening and life-changing. Plus, they also did monthly group shoots, just fashion and lingerie with models. And I had never shot with a model before. So I don't know if it ruined my life by starting to shoot with models or if it was life-changing in a good way. But it's been a lot of fun. But working with models is definitely addictive. And I really enjoy it a lot. And I shoot a variety of genres. I really like shooting a little bit of everything. But I definitely have come to enjoy in the studio. Like I almost, if it's a really great studio, I actually would prefer shooting in the studio rather than on location, because you're totally in control of the lighting and the temperature. There's no bugs. And every shot, it will come out perfectly exposed without any issues because, you know, you're indoors, so you can control everything. Where when you're outdoors, you got to deal with bright sun, no sun, cloudy, bugs, hot, cold, rain sometimes. Doesn't rain in the studio unless you've got a studio with a rain setup. So, but I've been, you know, models I've been shooting are probably about 13 to 15 years, I think.
We're going to definitely talk quite a bit about models today. So for all you guys out there listening, we're going to do something a little bit different today. Looking at the podcast stats, I can see that there's a lot of episodes that have completion rates of between 40 to 70%. So we are going to start chopping episodes in half and releasing them as 2 30-minute episodes. So I'm going to take the intro to this one, and I'm going to take the outro to this one, and we're going to copy and we're going to paste it onto the next one, and we're going to chop the interview in half, turn it into two pieces, each somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes long, and see if maybe people listen to the whole thing that way, because it'd be really sad if there's something fun at the end and you totally miss it. So for the first interview, for the first half of this interview, we're going to focus on personal, we're going to focus on Joe's work, and the second part, which will be coming out a week after you listen to this, we're going to be talking about events. We actually started a conversation back in July talking about an event called Homestead Beauties, and I want to dive into what these events constitute and like what types of photography happen there and what it's like to be there. But that's in a bit. First of all, we actually covered all these. You said you've been working, you've been doing this for 20 years, you got started shooting weddings. So I guess we can jump to the third question, which is this full-time or is it supplemental or is it more of a passion, more of a hobby on the side?
Well, models, for me anyway, it's hard to make money working with models. There are some photographers that do. I mean, I think there's a lot of photographers that do, but for me, it usually costs me money. You know, because models have an hourly rate, and a lot of times they're willing to negotiate a lower rate with me, because I'll tend to give them, I'll do two things for a model when we shoot. I will give them a lot of edited images, and I'll also give them proofs, because a lot of them have like OnlyFans and Patreons and stuff. So if I give them everything we've shot, they have a lot of material to go through. So I think it's like a form of payment. So with the photography, obviously wedding work, that's where I make my money. I'm going to start expanding out into high school seniors and family photos. And that's under my regular business name. Mm-hmm. Belladonna Photos, like an alias. You know, I keep the sexier work totally separate from everything else.
No, I get it. Matthew Holliday is not my name. It's because I don't want this popping up if somebody searches me for a job. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah, it is, you know, because it's like boudoir is a huge business.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel like I could promote it on my regular business page, you know?
Yeah, that's always super frustrating. There's so much money going into adult work and boudoir and glamour, but yet nobody really feels like they can talk about it.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I do make some money working with models because I have a Patreon. So, you know, it does generate some income. So I always feel like I have to pay something to girls when I work with them, just because there is some income coming in. People don't really understand how the Patreon works. They're like, oh, you're making money off my images. Well, not really, because it's spread out over all the different posts I do within the space of a month. Mm-hmm. You know, there might be 40 different girls that might be posted. I have over 20,000 images posted on my Patreon.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, I post a lot because, like, I know that there's a local photographer here who does good work, but I always see the people on his Patreon complaining that he never posts anything. Like, sometimes he'll go, you know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks without posting even one image.
Can't do that when people are paying monthly.
No, I agree. You know, and then when he does post something, it's just a couple of images. It's almost like it's a pain in the butt for him to you know, to be bothered. And I'll bend over backwards for the people that support me. They, you know, at certain levels, they can request, you know, hey, can you post this model? And if I can find them, they tend to request girls I shot like 6, 7, 8 years ago. So those are a little bit harder to find. But if I can put a set together, I will, and I'll post it up for them, you know, so.
That's really interesting. I mean, I'm familiar with like a Patreon or an OnlyFans for a specific model. That makes sense. They're looking for basically guys or a few girls, I suppose, that are falling in love with them from a distance.
Yeah.
How does that work for a photographer when you're posting a bunch of different models? Are they looking for your style?
Before my main Instagram was deleted, I had over 19,000 followers, and they were pretty rabid followers. I don't know why. Like, I think I'm an okay photographer. I think the models I work with make me look really good. There's a lot better photographers out there. Like, I don't think I'm the world's greatest photographer. But what I have found with the Patreon, I work with a lot of Playboy models and well-known traveling models, but the girls that get requested seem to be the local girls I've worked with. You know, like maybe somebody went to high school with them and they always wondered what they looked like. It's kind of strange, maybe a little creepy, but those girls seem to be really popular, more so than the Playboy models that I post.
No, I do understand that. I've always felt like the type of glamour that comes out of Playboy is just so ultra polished and so almost high fantasy. Like, you know, right. These girls are ethereal. They're out of your touch. They don't really exist. Whereas stuff that feels a little more realistic, definitely. I definitely can see the attraction.
Yeah. And, you know, my editing is very simple. I do not know how to use Photoshop. I use Lightroom, and I can make it do what I need it to do. I feel like
you can do just about everything there.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing just a little bit with the retouching, because occasionally I do work with a girl that really I need some Photoshop skills with. Most of the time, though, they're pretty flawless on their own. They just do a little bit of skin smoothing. And
definitely helps. Start with people with perfect skin, and you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, that's what makes me look like a really good photographer.
Yeah, I hate editing and I hate Photoshop. I have so many pictures that have never been edited. I've gone through them in Lightroom and I've, you know, starred them and been like, all right, here's my 5-star ones, and then nothing, because I hate editing.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So when I work with a girl, you know, like most photographers, if they use Photoshop, you know, they'll do a shoot with a model and they might give the model 5 or 6 images and that's it. Because I use Lightroom and I've developed a number of presets on my own that, you know, that to tweak a little bit, I can edit fairly quickly. So, you know, a girl that I work with might get 100, 200 edits, you know, 200 edited images. But remember, in this day and age, they've got OnlyFans or they have Patreon, so they can definitely use that many images to put sets together and stuff. So I give them a ton of edited images when we work together.
That makes sense. What led you to the aesthetic you're currently using? The presets you have, the minimal editing, was it just your hatred of Photoshop, or are you trying to, is there a certain aesthetic you're trying to portray?
I don't really hate Photoshop. I just open it up and I'm like totally clueless. So I close it quickly and I go back to Lightroom. What I've learned over the years, because like I look at some of my early work, mostly my wedding work, but I look at even some of my early model shoots, and I used to do all kinds of weird editing, and it's very dated. So now I prefer very simple, minimal editing, you know, smooth the skin a little bit, pop the colors a little bit, don't do anything too crazy, and nobody can tell if you shot it yesterday or if you shot it 20 years ago. So I have to just keep it simple. People actually do recognize a lot of times a photo that I shot because of just the way it looks. I don't know, like, I don't know if I have a certain, you know, like I said, I don't have like any crazy presets. It's very simple, but most of the time people know I shot the image when they mm-hmm. see it. So I guess that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
There is a style, okay. I guess, there. You know, I like my style to be soft and sensual, not generally sexual. I do shoot some erotic work, but not a lot, and most people don't really see that. I try to keep it more sensual and artistic. I like to bring out a woman's beauty and sensuality, and, you know, because I work with a lot of girls that have never shot before. I always find out what they think they would be comfortable shooting before we shoot. I go over that a lot. I run ideas by them, you know, and I'm very specific. Are you comfortable doing this? Are you comfortable doing that? So there's no surprises. And I've always communicated that with girls I've worked with right from the very beginning. Because when you're shooting nude work, you can't just be shooting portraits with someone and say, hey, let's shoot some nude. You can't do that. You have to you have to discuss everything beforehand. Even when it's a model that's experienced, you know, I like to know their comfort level. You know, are they comfortable shooting open leg erotic work? Are they comfortable shooting nude? You know, I mean, obviously most of them are if they're traveling nude models, but I never assume anything. Like I've worked with girls that work at strip clubs, and I've worked with some very shy strippers that didn't want to shoot nude work, you know, so I never assume anybody I work with is comfortable doing it. I do always ask because I do have a Patreon, so I do need to shoot some nude work generally when I do a shoot, you know, so I need to know, are they comfortable doing it? But if they're not, I will work with whatever they're comfortable doing. You know, it's, I've always done that. It's funny.
I imagine that's somewhat of a difficult conversation, especially with new models, about boundaries and that. How do you generally approach it?
Okay, so I'll give you an example. I worked with a girl recently. She's a local girl. I've noticed a number of my photographer friends have worked with her, and I was following her, but I had never messaged her about shooting. And she's a dancer, you know, like an actual dancer. And so they do a lot of dance photography with her, but I didn't notice any nude work in her portfolio. So I messaged her, asked her if she'd be interested in shooting. And then I just said, I don't see any nude work in your portfolio. I don't know if it's something you've ever shot or if you'd be comfortable shooting. And she said she would like to try it. And I said, well, I noticed so-and-so shot with you. I said, but they never, I said, how come they never shot anything nude? She says, nobody ever asked. I think I was the first one that asked her if she would be interested in shooting it. So she had been modeling 3 or 4 years. And so we got together in the studio for about 4 hours. And she was freaking amazing because, like, to incorporate her dance skills into art nude work, we created some really beautiful images, even some erotic stuff. she just kind of was feeling it and just did the posing on her own. I never asked her to do it. And now it's opened up a whole new world for her as a model. She's gotten even busier to the point where she thinks she can do it full time now, because now everyone wants to shoot her. But I always say, if you don't ask, you don't get it. You know, it's like, yeah. I always ask if it's somebody I want to work with and I want to shoot nude work, I ask them. And if they say no, that's fine. And like I said, I will shoot whatever they're comfortable doing, because I do shoot with a lot of brand new girls that have never done it before. I'm surprised actually at the number of girls that tell me after I ask them if they'd be interested in shooting something nude that I've never shot. They always, you know, I have a lot of girls that tell me they always wanted to shoot something nude, but never knew how to even go about it. So I'm pretty good at finding girls that have never shot and actually have skills. So
I imagine that gets a lot of new photographers into trouble because they're afraid to ask. And so they don't. And when instead they end up being deceptive and being like, let's do a portrait shoot. And then they try and push boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. Because what I found is like I'll shoot with somebody that maybe a bunch of my friends have never shot with before. And then they're always like, hey, do they shoot nudes? And you know, I'll say, well, yeah. I said, they did with me. I said, but I always ask first. Like, there's so many photographers that are afraid to even ask a girl. But if you don't ask, I don't think you should even attempt to shoot anything nude or, you know, nude wise, unless you have already discussed it before you actually are shooting. Because I think that's what gets you into trouble. You can never assume anything. So, I mean, the worst that's going to happen is a girl's going to say, no, I'm not comfortable shooting that. I've actually had girls, I've messaged girls about shooting. I don't discuss the nude work unless we're, you know, talking first. But they're like, oh, you know, it's like, I can't shoot with you because you only shoot nudes. And I'm like, well, I don't. I shoot everything. I shoot fashion. I shoot portraits, headshots. I shoot lingerie. But the stuff that gets the most traction on my Instagram is, you know, the nude work. It's, you know, it's the sexier stuff. Although with Instagram, for me, they'll even remove fully clothed images and tell me it violated their community standards. Ah.
Yeah.
So I've had that happen a number of times because they suck.
Yeah, common complaint. All right. So let's talk about, where are the majority of your photos shot? Do you shoot in your home? Do you shoot at, you know, hotels? Do you rent places? Do you shoot in studios?
Well, a variety of places. So I live in a 5-family house. It's an old house, so it has character, not like just an apartment complex. So it's a large 1-bedroom apartment. And so my living room is fairly large, and it has a 3-bay windows. And it's, ooh, got some really great natural light that comes in. It's actually, people are surprised when they see it because it's actually a small area. But I shoot, when I do shoot at my house, I'll shoot in the windows. I'll use natural light most of the time. And it's got like a hardwood floor too, so I can get a little variety. And I've got some sheer curtains so the model can play in the curtains and stuff. I can shoot silhouettes. But then also what I've done is I've taken a couple of, I think they're like 6-foot tall foam insulation panels, you know, that you would, if you were doing, you know, walls. So I've painted them different colors, and I can stick them in the center bay window because the side windows are angled. So I can stick one of those in the center, and then I'll use some studio lighting, and I can actually get a studio effect. And it looks like I'm in a studio because you don't really need a lot of space. So I shoot a lot in the living room. I've also got a futon that you can turn into a bed. So I can use that as a bed set in the living room. And I also have a tall blow up mattress that can also stick in the windows and shoot some natural light in there. And it's a high one. I think it's like 2 or 3 feet high when you inflate it. So it's very high off the ground. You throw a blanket and some sheets on there and it looks like a bed. I can also shoot in my bedroom. It's got one window behind the bed. So a lot of times I like the look, so I will jack up my ISO and shoot at a very high ISO in the bedroom, or I'll set up a studio light as well. And I have a couple of constant LED lights that sometimes I'll use in there too. But I belong to a studio co-op, So I do a lot of my work in the studio because I really like working in the studio. The studio I belong to is small, so sometimes it can be a little boring because it's just a white high key set and a black low key set, and that's it. There's no natural light. Mm-hmm. There's no windows. It's very functional, though, but it's a constant challenge to come up with maybe a different lighting setup, maybe use some gels, try to change things up a little bit. I also do like shooting on location as well. That brings some different problems, as you know, we were talking about, I think, before the
podcast. Yeah, rain and
heat. It can be really hot. I do actually, like a lot of people won't shoot. They'll shoot like early morning or later afternoon. Like now, one of my very good model friends, Lissa Kate, her and I have worked well over 100 times together since she started shooting last year. And we've shot a little bit of everything, I think. But her and I work really well together in that light that nobody likes to shoot, in that high noon sun when it's right up above your head and it's harsh. We get some killer images, whether it's fashion images or nude work. There's a location I like to shoot at. It's called Plum Island. It's in Massachusetts and it's on the ocean. It's a nature reserve.
Is that the place? There's a book written there. That was where they used to do infectious disease studies for animals or something.
You know, they probably did because I shoot on this. There's a nature reserve. So it's like it's a park. What do they call it? Like a natural preserve, national state park, I guess. So you have to pay to get in, but it's all, and you're not allowed to go on the sand dunes, but it's like 7, 8, 9 miles of beachfront, you know, like all along the ocean. But, and as you go into, you can go into different access areas. And I have found a couple of secluded spots that no one can see, and they're in the sand dunes, but no one can see you shooting in there. And we're not hurting anything, so I'm not really too worried about it. So I've shot some really great stuff there. Natural light, that high noon sunlight, you know, you can really get some great images with the proper posing. So I do like shooting on location too. So I guess a little bit of everything. Obviously in the winter, it's all studio work. This year, I've done a little bit of studio.
You
a little bit of
location. Don't go out in the snow?
No, I hate it. I can't stand the winter. It's like I'm ready to move someplace warm. So, but if a model wants to do something in the snow, I will do it. But I never am like, hey, let's go shoot in the snow. I shot a model a few years ago, and we had just had a snowstorm. So there was a ton of snow, and we were shooting at my house. And she had this idea she wanted to do. The house that I live in is on 5 acres, so there's a lot of land. Nobody's home here in the daytime. And she wanted to do this. She had this idea she wanted to do out in the snow, totally nude with just boots. I'm like, all right. But it was 20 degrees out. And she's running around my yard butt naked with a backpack on. And, and I was like, but I would never come up with the idea because I don't like the cold. I would much rather stay inside. But if the model wants to do it, I'll do it. But like in New England, you get all these guys that they just keep shooting outdoors all winter, and the models are freezing, the noses are red, their eyes are watery. It doesn't make for a good photo, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say, but
they're natural light photographers. They don't know how to use studio lighting. So they keep shooting outdoors all winter.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You have a lot of luck finding models. So how do you find models? Do you just approach everybody you know? Do you try and find them on social media? What's your secret?
Okay, so over the years, there's been two ways I have found girls. I do work with a lot of new girls, but I also work with a lot of established models as well. So one of the things when I have come across new girls, when I'm looking for somebody new, I might notice somebody's following me on Instagram, and I look at the avatar, I'm like, oh, that girl looks cute. And I'll click over and I'll scroll through some of their photos and I'll like their look. And probably 90% of the time, they've never even shot before. And I'll drop them a message. It's like, hey, you know, I'm a photographer. I really like your look. I don't know if you'd be interested in being photographed, but if you are, I would love to photograph you. Probably 90% of the time, these girls will respond back with, yeah, I love your work. I would love to, you know, to be photographed. I've never done it before. And then that's when I go into, you know, what would you be comfortable shooting some lingerie work or less, you know? And I just come right out and ask. I figure they're not going to be offended, because if they're following me, they see my style of photography anyway. They see there's a lot
that
of,
makes sense.
You know, lingerie on there in art nudes and stuff. And most of the time they'll be comfortable to, sometimes they'll say, I'm only comfortable shooting some topless work, which is fine. Sometimes they'll tell me they always wanted to shoot nudes, but they didn't have any idea how to go about doing it. So they're more than happy to. And what I have found is most of the time these girls, they have some skills. They have some posing skills naturally. Occasionally I find a couple of duds, but it's very rare. I've found a lot of really talented models that went on to become huge, not because of me, but I just happened to do their first shoot and then they just took off. Sky Blue, Kenzie Reeves, those are a couple of the bigger models that I did their first photo shoots and then they went off and became extremely successful on their own. They both live out in Los Angeles now. But the other thing, too, I found other girls over the years, I don't really use Facebook much anymore, but I used to have like a Facebook group for my model work. And I would notice someone following me. I'd click over to the Facebook and I really liked their look. So I would drop them a message. So really, that's how I find like the newer girls that I've never shot before. I usually find them on Instagram. I don't actively look, but I'll notice if someone's liked my images or if they're following me. And if I like their look, I'll ask them. There's a company over in Dover, New Hampshire called Signature Models. And they're Sig Models on Instagram. And they fly Playboy models in and traveling models. They find some new girls as well. And they bring them in every week. And they shoot these girls. But one day a week, they make the models available for local photographers like me to book. So that's how I, you know, get in good with some of the Playboy models. So like Kayla Coyote is one of my favorites that they have brought in. And I've worked with her a number of times. I'm actually bringing her in to New Hampshire next week on my own for a week. And I'm running an erotic group shoot with her. So Sig Models is a good resource for me because I've been able to work with a number of girls that are well known that I might never actually be able to capture their attention because, you know, I have such a small following after getting deleted so many times and they might be like, ah, who's this guy? But it enables me to work with them and then I get to develop a good working relationship with these girls on my own too. So stay in touch after that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Looks like we're just about out of time for the first half hour here. So let's go ahead and finish off with a quick question. What's your favorite image in your portfolio?
Oh boy, that's a really hard one. So, well, let's see. One of my favorite images now, right now though, is with her Instagram name is Lovely Sorina, S-O-R-I-N-A. And she bought this pink giant tulle robe. And we went out to Plum Island. It was actually, the hurricane got downgraded to a tropical storm. But we were out on the beach and the park was actually closed. So the gates were closed, but the first beach was close enough to walk to. So we walked out there and there was nobody around. So we were shooting nudes out on the beach in this rain and wind. And I got some really great stuff with her.
Was it August 23rd?
August 23rd.
Where she's like kneeling on the beach at the pink like lace or chiffon or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know. I think it's made out of tulle, but I'm not, it was a very heavy robe type of a thing. One of my favorite images. She's a great model. She'd be a great interview too. I think you'd find her very interesting. She's very smart. She's working on her degree right now, but she's in DC too.
So that's convenient.
She's a great poser. Yeah. She's somebody you might want to work with too.
Definitely take a look at it. I think looking through your portfolio, my favorite one we talked about a little bit before was with Sadie Happens, shot in her old apartment in front of the TV. Yeah, it has a very authentic feel to me. Like I was talking about before, I typically prefer, you know, non-glamour shots. It's not too polished, more authentic, more real. And this definitely has that feel.
Yeah, she was a great model to work. We still stay in touch. She moved to Portland, Oregon, but I actually found her in a strip club. as a dancer there. I don't know if she's, I think she may still do some dancing too out in Portland, but we're definitely going to shoot again if I can make my way out there. But she was a very natural model. She modeled for a bit before she moved with other photographers, but she was always really great to work with. And that tattoo sleeve is just real. She had really nice tattoo work done. Mm-hmm. Like, I've worked with a lot of girls that have really crappy tattoos. Hers are definitely quality.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I imagine the beaches out there are super interesting for shooting as a backdrop. Like, all the cliffs and the sea stacks and the rock beaches versus the sand.
Yes. Like, I'd love to shoot at Cannon Beach in Portland. It's got those giant rock structures, and New England has some pretty cool coastlines, you know, with rocks and things too. Not as nice as Oregon, I don't think, but I have done some really cool shoots driving out to York, Maine. And driving, I saw a giant rock one time. We're coming around the corner on a main road, and it was this huge rock out in the water, but you could walk to it. And I shot nudes there with Zoe West, who's a really well-known traveling model, probably about like 5 years ago. And I mean, we were right out in the view of anyone driving along that road, but we worked quickly. We probably shot there for 15 minutes and shot some beautiful nude work. And then we hopped back in the car and took off before the police came.
And with that, we are done. Check us out at the nsfwphotographypodcast.com, on Twitter as at nsfwphotography, Instagram at the nsfwphotographypodcast, and subscribe at your favorite podcast app. For our closeout today, I have a quote from Yoko Ono. "Art is a way of survival. After this last year, I hope that everyone is doing more than just surviving out there."